speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
The lesson for this morning is one that I have been grappling with for well over a year. It's one that I have put on my schedule to preach. I know at least 3 to 4 occasions, and as the time drew near to preach on this subject, I replaced it with another lesson and pushed this on to the future. This is a subject, the reason why I did not feel that I was ready to preach the lesson, that there was something else I needed to study, something else I needed to learn. The lesson this morning is going to be a little bit different from some of the ones that I have preached in the past. Many of the lessons that I preach take a text and try to do an exposition of it. Some of the lessons that we study are theme-based or topic-based. This is going to be a lesson in practicality, and yet I think it is an extremely needed lesson. Let me take for just a moment or two a little bit of time to introduce what I would like to discuss. I'd like for you to imagine that here is a young family. They come to a congregation because they've moved to town. Their work has brought them here. They come and they place membership, they get involved in the congregation, and then they make the announcements, our jobs have moved and we've got to leave, we're going to another congregation. Another example is another young family, they move to the area and they place their membership, they get involved in the activities of the church, but then you begin to notice them to miss periodically. And they come and one Sunday morning, they go to the educational director and say, here is the material for my class. We're going to be attending another congregation and we want to give you back the material. A third example, here's a young man. He obeys the gospel. He becomes a part of the congregation, but a year or two later, he begins to miss Wednesday night, Sunday night, then eventually Sunday morning. Then you begin to not see his face anymore, and he leaves the church. The truth is, all three of those scenarios could be multiplied by a number of others, and you know, I know, that there are people who leave a congregation. Some move and go to other areas. Some move and go to other congregations. Some quit altogether. Every congregation that I know of faces this problem. It's not just our congregation. It's not just McMinnville. It's not just the Churches of Christ. It is among practically every kind of religious group that I know of is that fact that there's a lot of turnover. The challenge is to identify why and how to prevent people from leaving the local congregation. Some of the seminars, I've tried to study on this subject as much as I possibly could. I've tried to read articles, read books, listen to lessons in preparation of this. And I've got to be honest with you, I have not found anything that I feel like, hey, this is the answer. The things that I'm going to present to you this morning are the things that I have studied myself, not from someone else's book. But let me tell you some of the titles. Closing the Back Door. Less Teflon, More Velcro. I thought that was an interesting title in and of itself. Magnetized churches. The last one I thought was very interesting, sticky church. And that gives you some kind of idea of the fact that there are a lot of people who are in pursuit of the same idea. How is it that we're able to accomplish this? As I pointed out, this lesson is designed to be practical. I've got two purposes involved in this lesson. Number one is to inform the current members of the need to reach and retain new members. We are about the Great Commission to carry the gospel into all the world. during this past year, there have been at least two specific events designed for this very purpose. The Autumn Street Fair. We tried to reach out to people of our community to present the Lord's Church to them, to invite them, to encourage them to come and to worship the Lord with us here. We went to the people there. The second thing that we did was to have a Friends and Family Day where we tried to invite not only those who were our friends, maybe who are members of the Lord's Church, but those who are not going to church anywhere. Those who are looking, searching, and seeking. Part of this is to educate, to encourage us to reach out, but also do our part in trying to retain them. There's a second part. To educate the current members and visitors who are thinking of leaving, that it's time for us to settle down. The idea of what is sometimes referred to as church hopping does not help the person who is involved, nor does it help the Lord's church. We need to realize there is a time for us to settle down and do the Lord's work. So our brief outline will be this. Number one, why people leave. Number two, why people stay. Now, there are numerous reasons. In fact, if I were to try to make an exhaustive list of why people leave, we could spend not only the time allotted for this lesson, but several more as well. What I want to do is to look at about eight of them and to explore them and to bring them to our thoughts, to bring them to our minds. The first reason why people leave is because they are not interested. The idea of going to a service where people sing praises to God, study His Word, remember the Lord's death, offer prayers to God and partake in the Lord's Supper does not interest them. You know, in Matthew 5 and verse 6, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." We all know there are some things that interest us. There's other things that do not interest us. There are some people to whom the idea of what we're doing here this morning has no interest whatsoever. And they may come for a short time. They may come because family puts pressure on them. But in reality, if they're not interested, they're going to leave. That's a reason why some people leave. Some leave because they are not included. And when you start finding people who are not included, they're made to feel like they're outsiders. They may come and visit in a congregation and they may get the impression, I don't fit in here. I'm not included in the number. This is frequently a problem within small congregations that have a lot of members of the same family. I have worked with a congregation that was probably 70 to 80% one family. Give it a very large family. But many times when you come in, you may be there for years and not feel like you are a part of the group. And you may be given the impression that you're not a part of it. Let me point out to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21 says, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor can the head say to the foot, I have no need of you." There is, within many groups, this idea of you don't belong. A third reason why people leave is because they are not involved. When you hear people who are not involved, they will often speak of the Lord's church in the second or third person. And you say, what do you mean by that? Instead of saying, we, they will say, you or they. You people down there at the church, those people down there at the church, instead of saying we always look at it, or they look at it in a part that does not include themselves. Sometimes this is the fault of the congregation by not getting people involved, not giving them a job to do, not making them feel like they're a part of it. Other times it's because people want no commitment. They don't want to get involved. They don't want a responsibility. I think of the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, verse 6. When Nehemiah came back to the city of Jerusalem, the walls were broken down. They'd evidently been that way for quite some time. And Nehemiah came and motivated the people to get involved. And everybody got involved, from the least to the greatest of them, and they worked together. And the reason why it was so successful, Nehemiah 4 verse 6 says, for the people had a mind to work. Number four, the reason why people leave is because they're not invested. I tried to find a way to describe this. But the old phrase is, if you don't put anything in it, you're not going to get anything out of it. Some people invest their money in various places. But let me give you a way that some people invest their money, and I think it's rather unique. A little over 2 weeks ago now, I went to the Fried Hardeman Lectures, and on Tuesday morning, we stopped at McDonald's to eat breakfast. And while we were stopped there, just in South Jackson, right next to it is a grocery store. And right under the title of the grocery store, it says, employee owned. I can assure you, if you go in that grocery store, people are going to greet you. They're going to make you feel welcome. They want you to be a part of it because they own the store. A lot of people do not get involved in the Lord's church, and they keep looking at it as if it is something out there, because they don't invest anything into it. If you put your time, your effort, your blood, your sweat, your tears into a congregation, you're not likely to leave it. A lot of people have not invested themselves. That's the reason why some people say, I didn't get anything out of the lesson. They've not invested anything into it. They don't open their Bibles. They don't open their minds. I suggest to you there's four negative reasons why people sometimes leave. But let me point out to you there's some positive reasons why people leave. Number one is they are idealistic. They have in their minds the perfect congregation. They expect to go to a congregation and they expect the preacher to have the eloquence of Apollos and the knowledge of Paul, and children as beautiful as Absalom, and a wife as beautiful as Sarah, and to work 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and never get discouraged and never complain. And guess what? They find out the preacher's not perfect. They want elders who will speak to every person who walks in the door, and yet they want them to take individual time with each one of them to ask about their problems and their difficulties in life. And they want elders that are perfect, who never make mistakes, who never get frustrated, who never get tired of hearing the complaints. They want Bible class teachers who walk into the classroom and are able to capture the attention like that. And they build in their minds this idealistic view of a church. And then they find out when they get there that it's composed of real people. And you know, when Paul wrote the Romans in chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, he said, what shall we say then? Are we better today? Not at all. For we have previously charged that both Jews and Greeks, they are all under sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. Do you want me to tell you how many perfect congregations there are? None. None. And yet, it always appears that the grass is greener over the next hill, that the congregation that you will leave and go to the next one will be there. And some people are idealistic. Some people are irritated. That means they're upset at either someone or something. Sometimes people have the right to be irritated. And what I mean by that is the preacher is not preaching the truth. And that irritates them. The elders are letting them not preach the truth. And that irritates them. On the other hand, sometimes people get irritated when members are rude and say unkind things. Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a grievous word stirs up anger." In the book of Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, "And let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with a little salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." People get irritated. And because of that, they leave. There are some who leave because they are itinerants. If you don't know what the word itinerant means, I'll explain it to you. There are people who come into Warren County to work in the nursery industry from Mexico, from other Central American countries. Next year, when it's the season, they may move to northern Georgia and work in the carpet mills. The next year, they may come back again and move to North Carolina or other states. It's not as if this area has some particular draw to them. They're just people who move from one place to another. That's called an itinerant. What we find is there are some people who do make it a practice. They go here, they go here, they go here, they go here. And for them, it's just a matter of habit. They move a lot. They go to one church, they leave. They go to another church, they leave. Number four, they are influenced. That is, some people have influenced them to leave or to go somewhere else. In a very real sense, whether you understand it or not, there are people who are what preachers refer to as sheep stealers. That is, they go to their friends and other congregations and say, "You ought to leave there and come and go worship with us." We often joke among preachers as well that some people who are trying to steal sheep often steal goats instead. And sometimes that's true. But we shouldn't be influenced to just try to just go from here and there. But other people sometimes are influenced by other things, and that's the reason why they leave. 2 Timothy 4 verse 10 says, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas was influenced by a worldly desire to leave, evidently, the Lord's church. Or you can find in other passages like Acts 15, verse 38. John Mark left Paul and Barnabas because the work was tough. Sometimes people don't want to work. They're influenced. We could multiply these reasons many more times, but I don't think it would be fair if all I talked about was why people leave, because that gives you an idea that everybody's got something in their mind while they're leaving. But I'd like to talk to you a little bit about why people stay. And there are, again, numerous reasons why people stay. Number one, they have a purpose. They understand that they have some place and something that they need to do. I talk to some parents, and they say, "You know what? I want my children to grow up in a stable congregation. And I want my children to be taught the truth. And I don't want to jerk them around from this place to that place to somewhere else. I want them to develop some good Christian friends and to be at a place where they belong. I think all of us would know how difficult it would be to take a child and take him out of this school and put him in this school. Stay a little while and then move him to this school. The children of military personnel often find it difficult to have long-term meaningful relationships because through their childhood years they were here, 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 and here. Have a lot of adjustment issues. Parents should look at their children and think, I've got a purpose I need to fulfill. I need to give my children some stability and some direction in their lives. People who stay also can have other purposes in mind. They can look at an elderly member who needs help and say, I am going to stay so I can be able to help this person through this difficulty, through that problem, through something that they're going through in their lives. People have to have a goal sometimes. A purpose. People who stay are people who have a purpose. Number two, they have a proper perspective. They understand that they are not here just for themselves. Their perspective is, I understand I am here primarily for the Lord and then for others. Mark 10, verse 45, Jesus said, For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. He said, I understand my role is not here for me. Now that's why He was here on earth. I have to understand that when I come here to assemble on Sunday morning, it's not just for me that I am here. I'm here for the Lord. I'm here to give Him worship, devotion, honor. I have to also realize I'm not just here for me either because I need to think about other people as well. In Philippians 2 and verse 4, Paul would say, not looking each of you to his own things, but to the things of others. Verse 5, have this mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Yes, even death on the cross. Jesus didn't look at himself and say, it's about me. He says, it's about helping people. I suggest to you that people who stay have a proper perspective and say, it's about what am I doing to help others. Number three, there are people who have proper priorities. There's some people who, again, think about themselves. There are people who say, I can't run out on people. I've got a class to teach. I've got a job to do. And if it's all about myself, then I put me up here at the top, and I put other things down here at the bottom. You remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He prayed? Luke 22:42, He says, Father, if it is Your will, take this cup from me. But He says, nevertheless, Your will be done. There's a time and a place when we have to place our priorities in the right place and say, what needs to be done? What is God wanting? Am I filling my place? In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, you also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are a building. Spiritual building. In Ephesians 4, verse 16, he talks about which each of us being fitly framed together. If I have the right priorities, I have to ask, am I here doing something? And those who have the proper priorities are those who stay. Number four, those who develop personal relationships. We often hear people talk about, I've got a personal relationship with Jesus. That's great. That's a person who understands that Jesus didn't just die for all of mankind, and that doesn't somehow affect me. It's when we get to the point we understand Jesus died for me personally. And I personally appreciate that. And I personally am going to respond to that. 1 John 4:21 says, and this is the commandment which we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. You see, I can't just have a personal relationship with God and forget about the congregation. I am to love the brotherhood. I'm supposed to love you. People who make friendships and enjoy a sweet fellowship don't want to leave. We rarely walk away from our friends. One writer put it, and I thought it was very well, most people are not just looking for a friendly church. They're looking for a church where they can make friends. Where they can have people that are close to them. If you want to be solid in this congregation, make friends with your brothers and sisters in Christ here. And last of all, and again, there's many more that could be added to this. People stay who are pastored and pastured. And I know you may think those terms are not significant, but they are. The word pastor in the Bible refers to the overseers. The word shepherd, those who tend the flock. According to the Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 3, Acts chapter 20, this refers to those who we call elders, our overseers. I don't know whether y'all realize it or not, but our eldership here is active. They are interested in the spiritual welfare, and to some great degree, the physical welfare of every member of this congregation. You may not know that. You may not be aware of it, but they are. They spend their time trying to make sure that everybody's soul is well provided for. In churches where people stay, you have elderships, pastors, who are doing their job to try to make sure that the congregation is overseen, that they're provided for. Pastured. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Go to the pasture to eat. Those congregations that are well fed are satisfied. You know, if you're well fed, you are satisfied. And congregations that are pastored, overseen, pastured, fed, those are where the people want to stay. Let me try to sum this up a little bit. The figure of speech that I began with is that we often bring people in the front door. The church grows, but then we lose them out the back door. They go somewhere else. They drop out. We need to close the back door to keep everyone in God's house. We don't need to lose anyone. There's not a person present this morning that is not important to God and to us. Notice that inclusive us. When Jesus asked His disciples if they wanted to go away, in John chapter 6, verse 67, He says, "Do you want to go away?" And Simon Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and know that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Which is going to cause me to end with a quotation from Don Sullivan. Where else would you want to be? Where else would you want to be? I will tell you, the purpose of this lesson has been to bring it to our minds to think about the Lord's church and for us to place a priority on it. If we're not who we ought to be and we're not where we ought to be, let's work on it. Let's make it better. Let's make this congregation of the Lord's people the best it possibly can be. And let's make it where people will want to come and worship and serve the Lord here. And once here, let's make it where people will want to stay and serve God and be productive and cause it to grow.